My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, who is now with the American Enterprise Institute. He joins us from Dubai in the Middle East to offer his thoughts on the latest unrest in that region, particularly the very disturbing news that we're getting out of Libya about Muammar Gaddafi slaughtering his own people. We want to get his thoughts on that as well as the U.S. response to this point. And Mr. Ambassador, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me again. Glad to be here.
I remember during all the turmoil in Egypt, you said that less is better when it comes to public statements on what was going on there. Now we're seeing perhaps even less in terms of statements from the administration with all the chaos going on in Libya and with less demands towards the Libyan government than what we saw towards Egypt. Is this another example of less is more, or is this a missed opportunity?
Well, I think this is more likely to be a missed opportunity here. Let's be clear. There's absolutely nothing good you can say about Muammar Gaddafi. He is a ruthless dictator. He's a terrorist. He's almost certainly responsible for the bombing of Pan Am 103 back in the late 1980s, for the LaBelle disc attack, terrorist attack against Americans in Germany. And he's got a long record of supporting terrorism around the world. It's just a tragedy that's going on in Libya, no doubt about it. I would say this: the primary responsibility of any American government in a situation like this is to protect the Americans who are in danger today in Libya. We have a lot of oil field workers. We've got other people in Tripoli, and we need to be in the business of either getting them out of the country to safety, or in the case of the oil field workers, for example, they might be better off just hunkering down until the situation stabilizes. But I think it's at least open to question whether we're doing enough, whether the administration's doing enough. There were scenes of chaos at the Tripoli airport, and I'm very worried that they just don't have their eye on the ball. The government of Britain is being criticized for this as well, even though other European governments are getting their people out. So if there's any risk that public statements would endanger those Americans, not that Gaddafi needs an excuse, but if he were to think to himself, I'm going to take them hostage and put them in even graver danger, I would be very much worried about that.
One of the things we're hearing from the administration is that instead of speaking out unilaterally, they want to speak with one voice through the UN, which, of course, you have a great deal of experience with. What should we be saying on our own, with the UN or by ourselves, and what else should we be doing?
You know, honestly, I think going to the UN Security Council, as happened yesterday, is more of a sign to Gaddafi that he doesn't have to worry about the international community, that it's not all that serious. I mean, I think in the short term, we should be working through NATO to help get the passenger ships into Tripoli Harbor to get citizens out. Now, I've seen in press reports we don't even have an American aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean Sea at this point, which is amazing when you think about it. And so any effort, for example, at a no-fly zone over Libya would have to come from bases in Europe. And the Europeans, some of them, are very nervous about doing anything. So this is a complicated situation, and one where we could stand some American leadership and resolve. Very hard to know what the administration is doing.
We've seen the oil markets get spooked in the last couple of days here, Mr. Ambassador. How bad do you think that could get if this does turn into a protracted civil war?
Well, it would be obviously damaging to any Libyan oil production, although, again, press reports indicate that the eastern part of the country, where the bulk of the oil fields currently are, may now be out of Gaddafi's control. But, you know, there are a lot of risks here beyond oil. Number one, as you suggest, if we do see the outbreak of a real civil war, tribe versus tribe, you could envision a situation of anarchy in the territory of Libya that, like Somalia, could become a refuge for terrorists. And it's one reason why Egypt's military government has moved to move forces to the Libyan border to try and stabilize the situation there, although, frankly, I think they're pushing a rock uphill. So there's a lot going on, and I understand, obviously, the humanitarian focus on the brutality that Gaddafi has directed against his own people. But let's not forget the other stakes here as well. And to me, most importantly for the U.S. government, the safety of our fellow citizens still in Libya right now.
In her statement yesterday, Secretary of State Clinton talked very briefly about a number of places, but she actually spent the most time making demands towards the government in Bahrain, which is a government, obviously, that is in turmoil right now, but has been relatively friendly towards the United States over the years. Why is it that we're seeing more demands and more tough talk towards the governments that we actually get along with pretty well than the ones that we wouldn't mind seeing exit stage left?
Well, you know, this is the pattern of the Obama administration. Apologize to your enemies, rough up your friends. We have the Fifth Fleet based in Bahrain, critical to stability in the Persian Gulf region. Bahrain is a country with 70% Shia Muslim population ruled by a Sunni monarchy. I have no doubt the Iranians are looking at this and trying to see how they can best exploit that to their own advantage. We've already got Iranian warship having transited the Suez Canal into the Eastern Mediterranean for the first time in years. And while I don't honestly believe that one warship is a big threat, the political significance of what Iran has done is really significant. I'd have to say this is another in a long series of examples of the Obama administration just not being up to the job when it comes to American national security. We don't see any kind of strategy at work here. The administration responds as if it's in a political campaign. If you go back to the Egypt demonstrations, you know, first the government there is stable, then they want Mubarak out immediately, then he can stay until September, then they want him out immediately. My travels out here this past week have given me a chance to talk to a lot of people who are very, very concerned about the lack of American leadership, the vacillation, the contradictions in policy. And what it says to friends and adversaries alike is we're dealing with a weak administration that can't get its act together. And that's only a prescription for more bad news, I fear.
Couple quick questions remaining for former UN Ambassador John Bolton. And you mentioned the conversations you've had in the region, sir. Where do most of your friends and colleagues from the Middle East expect these series of protests to end up eventually?
Well, it's an excellent question, and one I don't think there's a good answer to. I do not believe that you can see a uniform direction for the outcome in these countries, certainly not a uniform movement toward democracy. In Egypt, the military is still in control. Effectively, it's in control in Tunisia. Nobody knows who's in control in Libya, Bahrain, Yemen, Jordan, now demonstrations in Morocco, still very much up in the air. So this is a time, I think, when we really need the White House focused on American interests in the region, the protection of American citizens. And as I say, I don't see much evidence of that.
Well, we've talked about the silence of the Obama administration. We also haven't heard very much at all from key Republican leaders at the national level or prospective presidential candidates. And I know that's one of the reasons you're considering a presidential bid. Does that trouble you that we haven't heard much from the right side of the aisle either? Or is it generally the administration's responsibility to have a response or a non-response?
No, you know, I think it's important for Republicans and members of Congress to speak up. We need to have a national debate on these issues. I see Senator John McCain and Joe Lieberman have called for a no-fly zone in Libya. I think that's the sort of thing we ought to look at, again, on the assumption we can first protect Americans or maybe use such a no-fly zone to protect Americans, but just to be sure they aren't taken hostage. And it's the absence of the president's leadership, I think, that encourages many Republicans to focus only on domestic issues as well. I understand we've got a difficult economy, but America has huge interests at stake in the Middle East, and they will have a direct and immediate impact on our economy. So we need a president who can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Well, Mr. Ambassador, thank you for your time. Safe travels. We look forward to talking to you again when you get back home.
Okay, many thanks.
Thank you, sir. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, joining us from Dubai in the Middle East. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute.